conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, from Romans 12. What does that mean? Does it even apply to you and your life? That is what we will explore today. Welcome to the Sunday service. You know, some things you just know. They just resonate with you. It clicks with you. You get it. And maybe this is you too. But for me, it was the idea of nonconformity. And this was, of course, during my teenage years, because that's when I believe that most of us have that punk rock, nonconformist, rage against the machine, your parents are dummies kind of thing. But maybe not everybody feels that way. As I get older, no longer in my teenage years, I have such a deeper appreciation, which sounds really dumb, but I have such a deeper appreciation for how different each of us is. And while there's certainly a lot of preferences and we can all agree on certain things, certain people feel dramatically different than I do. So I don't know if you went through a phase like that, or if you, that's just your existence of being somebody who feels like you don't fit in and or you're not interested in fitting in. We've got all these different sayings. That person marches to the beat of his or her own drum. you're cutting your own path, so on and so forth. Charting your own course. There's lots, because we human beings come in lots of different shapes and sizes, but our desire to fit in, the in-group, out-group dynamic is one of the truest, if not the truest, polarities and dynamics that has existed in human history. And in a lot of ways, that has defined the human story. Is this person is one of us, or they are not one of us, or this person is a stranger. I remember reading years ago how every good story starts that way. A stranger comes to town. And when that happens, we don't know what that person's intention is. Do they intend to make a good life here? Do they intend to steal all of our stuff? Do they have malicious intent? What is going on? We just don't know. And so that's what makes for a great story. So why talk about this? Why be thinking about this? Well, because in our political landscape, the world of politics right now, we've got one side calling the other side weird, which is so funny. It's so funny that grown-ups call each other names. And I am not necessarily interested in pointing fingers at whose fault any of it is, because I certainly know that that former President Trump has a history of making up names for people and calling them names. So it's not one side does it and one side doesn't do it. But this one kind of stands out for me and just sort of struck a nerve, that you would be calling people weird. They're just weird. I think that that's weird. I think that that is unusual. What does weird even mean? I think that we all understand it means it's maybe abnormal or off the beaten path or just, you know, kind of weird. But the definition is of strange or extraordinary character. Okay. So weird. I don't know what you think about weird, but I do not think that I ever minded being called weird. I have always resisted, very much resisted, being categorized. And along with the desire and the human tendency to focus on in-group, out-group, good, bad polarities, we also have the tendency to focus on wanting to put things into a bucket. Oh, that's so-and-so, he or she is this or that. He's a Republican. He's a Democrat. He's a Yankees fan. He's a Mets fan. He is an engineer. He is a lawyer. It just helps us to organize things in a very chaotic world. Helps us simplify things. We have so much coming at us all the time, and so much that demands our attention or is desirous of our attention. And so when we're able to, something new comes in, we can categorize it and put it in the appropriate container. So I get that. That being said, I don't like it when people do it to me or try to enlist my help in categorizing me, just because, like you, there's just a lot going on. I've got varied interests, but there's probably more going on than that beyond the scope of our conversation today. But weird means of a strange or extraordinary character. I've got a couple of quotes that I wanted to throw at you as well today. The first one comes from JFK. He said that conformity is the jailer of freedom and the enemy of growth. The reward for conformity is that everyone likes you but yourself. The opposite of courage is not cowardice, it is conformity. Whew. There you go. Conformity is the jailer of freedom and the enemy of growth. So, if everybody's the same and everybody's doing the same thing, you're going to get a real similar result. And it's a status quo kind of a thing. So, if you think about it, it's more of a conservative idea than it is a progressive idea. So, the idea that you would dislike something weird would be more of a conservative viewpoint than would be a progressive viewpoint. So that's an interesting thing. Here's another one that comes from Mako Komama, Mako Honana. I'm 100% sure that I just brutalized that person's name. My apologies. Most people do not have a problem with you thinking for yourself as long as your conclusions are the same as, or at least compatible with, their beliefs. There you go. Powerful. So, conformity is a tendency to change our perceptions, opinions, or behaviors in ways that are consistent with group norms. Norms are implicit, specific rules shared by a group of individuals on how they should behave. So, being non-normative means that you're acting in a way that's outside of our group. You're a weirdo. You're acting strangely. You're doing weird things, and it's throwing us off. So, there is, from a sociological perspective, something called the conformity theory of social acceptance, and that just means that each of us has a desire to fit in. I think that it is probably, people are outliers that go their entire lives not wanting to fit in necessarily. And there's certain parts of our lives where we do want to fit in, we need to fit in. And then there's certain parts of our lives where we want to do our own thing. We want to let our freak flags fly or whatever it is. So it's never as simple as, as this person is completely different than all other human beings on planet Earth. We all go along, get along in certain areas, and then do our own thing in other areas. So, but conformity serves as a way for individuals to avoid social rejection. It helps us get social approval and form community bonds. And at the very nature of finding community means that we have certain things in common. We share a common belief in an ideal. We share common values. And so long as we share those common values or through lines, then we're perfectly capable of being individuals. And that's really what this comes down to, from my perspective. I believe in the power of the individual. I believe in the importance of the individual. Individual thinking, individual feeling, individual ideas. I think it's critical. Like JFK was talking about, if you are going to get what you want out of your life and your existence, you must cut your own path. That doesn't mean it's contrary to what everybody else is doing. We share the same values. Assuming that we share the same values, we can still be individuals. We can still maintain our autonomy. I think that that's what this is all about. I don't want everybody to be the same. Like, that would be terrible. It would destroy art. It would destroy music. It would destroy athletics. It would destroy capitalism. It would destroy everything. If everything was just, you know, monochrome. If everything was just black and white, same, same. You're probably familiar with Friedrich Nietzsche. I quote him fairly frequently. He has a little known work. Well, if you're a Nietzsche fan, you're probably like, no, dummy. We all know about this one. But he has a little known work to me, and perhaps you as well. It's his meditation on the tragedy of conformity. And I'm just going to read it to you, or read a portion of it to you, because I think it's of immense value. And I encourage you to seek it out. But if you decide that you don't have enough time to do that, I totally get it, which is why I'm going to read it. It says, a traveler who had seen many countries, peoples, and several of the Earth's continents was asked what attribute he had found in men everywhere. He said, they have a propensity for laziness. To others, it seems that he should have said, they are all fearful. They hide themselves behind customs and opinions. In his heart, every man knows quite well that being unique, he will be in the world only once, and that there will be no second chance for his oneness to coalesce from the strangely variegated assortment that he is. He knows it, but hides it like a bad conscience. Why? From fear of his neighbor, who demands conformity and cloaks himself with it. But what is it that constrains the individual to fear his neighbor, to think and act like a member of a herd, and to have no joy in himself? Modesty, perhaps, in a few rare cases. With the great majority, it is indolence, inertia, in short, the tendency to laziness of which the traveler spoke. He is right. Men are even lazier than they are timid, and fear most of all the inconveniences which would unconditionally honesty and nakedness would burden them. Artists alone hate the sluggish promenading in borrowed fashions and appropriated opinions, and they reveal everyone's secret bad conscience. The law that every man is a unique miracle, they dare to show us man as he is, uniquely himself to every last movement of his muscles, more than in being thus strictly consistent in uniqueness, he is beautiful and worth regarding, and in no way tedious. When the great thinker despises mankind, he despises its laziness, for it is on account of their laziness that men seem like factory products, things of no consequence and unworthy to be associated with or instructed. The man who does not wish to belong to the mass needs only to cease taking himself easily. Let him follow his conscience, which calls to him, be yourself. All you are now doing, thinking, and desiring is not yourself. Powerful. So powerful. I think that way too many of us are carried along by the currents of life. We fall into predictable patterns and habits, and we stick to them. We have social groups that we remain with forever, and that could be a good thing or could not be. It's the way we do things. And Nietzsche outlined it perfectly. But it's reality that I think that we all should consider. What assumptions, what systems am I living under? Know that COVID caused us to be asking a lot of questions and thinking lots of new thoughts and interrogating why it is that we do certain things. In fact, many different things. And right now we're going through a period where, from my perspective, we as a culture were somewhat complacent to let things be. And now we're seeing that that's no longer the case, and people are asserting themselves a little bit more. But we all live under, again, so many different systems and assumptions. And those are systems and assumptions that are familial in nature. So what your family did, if you're dad was a shoemaker, your mom was a shoemaker, maybe you're going to be a shoemaker as well. And if you believe that real estate is the best way to gain wealth, then it's probably what you're going to focus on doing, or that's what your family did, or entrepreneurship, whatever it might be. Or maybe you all went to the same school, you go to the same church, go to the same place for breakfast. You understand what I'm saying? And while some of these are very, very, very good, it just depends. Depends on whose terms you're living under. On whose terms are you living under? Conform. Fall in line. Do it like everybody else does it. And to Nietzsche's credit and to JFK's credit, it's not necessarily the best way to do things. And I don't know how long it's been going on. It's probably been going on for a really long time. But this idea of identity politics is, I think it's such a corrosive and supercilious basic thing. In fact, I think it's the most basic thing in the world. What could be more basic than simply your immutable characteristics of I'm a man, a woman, I'm black or I'm white, or I'm gay or I'm straight. And because I fall into that category, that basket or bucket, we're going to vote as a group together. Or just because I'm this thing, that means that I think a certain way, or I share the same hive mind as everybody in my group. I think it's preposterous. Maybe the most preposterous thing in the world. Certainly think it's offensive. And me being the nonconformist that I am, reject that wholesale. Nothing about that I agree with. Nothing about that makes sense to me. So, well, what about you? What do you think? One of my favorite people, Henry David Thoreau, argues that the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. What is called resignation is confirmed desperation. He means that those of us who simply conform, who go along with the status quo and fail to question whatever society tells us is the correct path. And they're really only resigning ourselves. What we're doing is resigning ourselves to a life that will never ultimately be fulfilling because we won't be choosing our own path and making the most of our time based on what we think is right. That makes us desperate and unhappy by the common wisdom that we must work hard in order to acquire more, and then we must continue to work so that we can maintain what we've acquired. And then pretty soon all we do is work, become slaves to our possessions. There's all that. But Thoreau argues that nonconformity, he argues that conformity is such a negative and advises nonconformity so that each of us can have the most possible amount of time to do whatever it is that we love. So the unexamined life is not living. Most of us lead lives of quiet desperation. Oof, what a sad thing that is. Most people lead lives of quiet desperation because we're just falling in line. Because we're not being weird enough. I guess that's the big takeaway. I think that we should all be a little bit more weird. We should all let that freak flag fly, whatever it is. And that's maybe too much. We should all try to be more of ourselves, which is simplistic advice. And from my perspective, one of the hardest things to do, because when we've spent lifetimes conforming and lifetimes living under somebody else's watch, living under somebody else's terms, we've gotten really far away from who we really are, if we can even remember that person at all. But he or she is still there. They're still in there. And we just need to invite them out. Invite them to be a little bit weird. Invite them to pursue whatever lights them up. Pursue what lights you up. Pursue what is fun. And I'm not saying just stop doing everything, throw the baby out the bathwater. Saying just find your opportunities a little bit at a time. to do the things that you really enjoy and that you want to be doing. Think the thoughts you want to be thinking. Do the work you want to be doing. Do the hobbies that you're interested in doing. If it's music or sports or whatever. Dance, yoga. I don't care. I don't think you're weird. Well, maybe I will. And maybe that'll be awesome. It'll certainly be intriguing. And I will be interested in seeing or hearing about it. So, as always, do your part by doing your best.